Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach's Sunday celebration service, given by Pastor Paul Harmon. This message was recorded on February 21st, 2016, and is entitled Invisible Bubble of Forgiveness.
Well, friends, you may be seated. Please grab your Bibles. Well, we're going to pursue the Word of the Lord, and you can see in the back of the bulletin today's message. The title of today's message is Invisible Bubble of Unforgiveness. We're taking a look at that today, and I believe the Lord is going to do something I'm trusting will be significant for you and for me. So, as is our custom, before we even get into the Word, let me just lead us in prayer. Father, as we approach your Word, it can be a closed book, but open it, Lord, to us, and we want to hear. We've exercised our ability to hear the voice of God. Lord, we want to thank you for speaking. Not hearing me, but Lord, we want to hear you and what you have for us, because there are many hands looking for miracles today. That's going to happen in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. I mean, no, isn't it wonderful how the Lord comes along and he is not as interested in getting us from earth to heaven. That's a given. That's very easy. It's just faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord. But so much of it's just the kingdom of God coming into us, and having those things that apply to our lives are so important, so significant. That can be a little more of a challenge. In other words, some change starts to take place because it works its way from the inside going out. And one of those areas is in the area of forgiveness. It can be one of those challenging things. Let me just see by a show of hands, how many have a hard time forgiving somebody else? Raise your hand. Okay, now the rest of you need to be forgiven who didn't raise your hand. Could you just lied in church. Can you believe that? You who raised your hand, lean over to that person and say, I forgive you. Go ahead. They need to hear that. It's important. I forgive you. See, it can become very, very helpful. And so when we look at something like this, it can be forgiving somebody, it's not easy. It is tough. It's tough steps to be obedient to the Lord. When you start to realize the fruitfulness and the release that comes by obeying the Lord, it's absolutely wonderful. But I do have an observation that I've seen over the years, and I call it the invisible bubble of unforgiveness, where somebody loves God with all their heart, but they can't quite get the breakthrough they're needing because they're withholding forgiveness for somebody or something. And though we would hear testimonies about somebody's victories, we hear of others that are having major breakthroughs. We have somebody that just did a great job, Ian, sharing. And man, you talk about a man with breakthroughs. But just learning what it is to say, I'm going to trust the Lord. The impact and the change and the transformation that happens when a person steps out in obedience and are willing to forgive the Lord. So if you've ever seen somebody, or maybe you've been in that area where you hear others that are giving, man, they're singing, they're rejoicing in God, they're sharing the victories about the Lord, and then all of a sudden, it's as if you can't quite come to the party. You want to come to the party. You just don't seem to be getting it. Not quite there. Is it possible that our Heavenly Father could actually withhold something from one of his children? That's the question. So with that, you can see Mark 11. We're going to the gospel. We'll be spending some time in the gospels. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Let's go to Mark chapter 11. You see it right there at our launching verse, Mark 11. Let's look at verse 25. In Mark 11, we've already had a great encouragement by Jesus. In verse 22, he just says, have faith in God. Isn't that great? Have faith, confidence, God's going to come through. And then he starts talking, man, you can have that kind of faith and speak to that mountain. We just sang that song, be removed, and it's going to move. I believe the Lord will move mountains in our lives. I believe that. Then he says something in verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, everybody say whenever. Whenever is whenever. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, how about he know anything against anyone? That's all-encompassing. That is a global network. Have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Heavenly Father may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Now, I can't believe the Lord let that slip in there, verse 26. It seems so unfair. It does to me. I've sat and listened to many stories. And I would say to that person in my heart, man, you have every right to be absolutely upset and bitter toward that person. I agree with you. That is so unjust. But as that person maintains an unforgiving attitude, they actually put themselves in a lockdown, the invisible bubble of unforgiveness. They can't get the breakthroughs. They are stuck. And then bitterness starts to swell up, and they start speaking negative. I mean, they don't want to. Something starts to happen. Well, it is interesting, if you've ever read the Bible and it kind of reads like the Wall Street Journal, then you might want to consider, maybe I'm in that plastic bubble. When we take a look here, it's important because I've often found in dealing with things in just life as a Christian, it seems to be the basis, the basic things that Christians get tripped up on. It's not the somehow other areas, these technical aspects of Christianity, like the seven temple thread in Moses' tabernacle, or what day is the Sabbath. Those aren't the things that people get all torn up about. It's always the basic things that Christians kind of forget. And we stop considering it as a non-negotiable with God. And so with that, it's perception. We start to take on our own perception. I remember, case in point, our family had one of those traditions. Ainsley would always do something of a great meal for dinner, and we would always sit around the table for dinner. Many times, that would be my only time with the family, that 35, 40 minutes, and off I go making either home visitations or church ministries. But I had that time with the children. And I remember one time, Holly was about 6, and she's staring at her plate of food. I mean, it was a perfectly good plate of food. There was the little vegetables right there and some little meat and that little kind of little cut-up potatoes just the way she likes them. And she is glaring at that plate of food. And Holly, what is wrong? She said, Dad, Luke breathed on my food. And you want to, come on. She's going on a death fast because Luke breathed on her food. These little simple things that all of a sudden people are like, come on, are you serious? You're going to let that ruin your day. So we have to be careful when we come across things like that. And we have here today rules of the kingdom. Kingdom forgiveness, which is so important. I'd like us to open to chapter 18 of Matthew. The first is to forgive is not an action, but it's actually an attitude. And an attitude being, I just have to make sure that's just a part of who I am. I'm ready to forgive. Not so much I'm going to just kind of do this every now and then. I want to be that great Christian that forgives easily. Let's look at Matthew 18. And if you'll notice at verse 21, it actually has verse 35 as our reference. But let's look at what Jesus said the kingdom is like. Then Peter, I'm in verse 21. Are we all there? I love that. Great. Then Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? That's pretty. How many of you know after the 6th time, I'm not going to forgive anybody? Forget it. But 22, Jesus said, no, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times what? 7. In other words, it's really an attitude. You're just going to have to make that a part of your lifestyle. Then he says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents, but he was not able to pay. His master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. And then the servant, therefore, fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. the master of that servant was moved with compassion, and I believe that's the way our Father is in heaven, released him and forgave him the debt. Now, that's pretty great. If you've ever experienced forgiveness, it's a great day. If you've ever walked out of the doctor's and had a clean bill of health, it's a great day. I mean, anything where you're released from oppressive burdens, come out of debt, it's a great day. This guy's having a great day. But those days sometimes get forgotten. But the servant went out, verse 28, and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you all." And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was what? Can a person get angry? Have you ever seen injustice? Have you ever seen somebody say, "Wait a minute, you're not modeling what you've known to do"? Sometimes parents can get upset that way, don't we? Teach our children to be just like so, and then they go out, and it is like they weren't even listening. I just remember telling Emily that as a young girl. We were talking about the Beatitudes, you know? First thing Jesus talked about, the Beatitudes. And how to have good attitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Remember that? And there was Emily just taking her out on her brother Luke. And I said, "Honey, come here." And I started telling her about just good attitudes Jesus wants. And I brought her close and really caressed her and said, "Honey, don't be that way. Please don't. You have any questions?" And she said, "Dad, yeah, I do. Well, what is that, sweetie?" I said, "Well, next time we have these talks, you think you can brush your teeth?" I lost my attitude. I mean, it was over. I was upset. Completely wasn't listening. I was angry. So we see here, the father's angry, verse 34, and the master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. And verse 35 is our reference. "So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespass." I believe there could be those occasions. I have gotten myself out of those invisible bubbles where I've withheld forgiveness. I felt I was actually putting that person, kind of getting back at them to withhold forgiveness. But what was happening, I was actually putting myself in prison by withholding forgiveness till the day God helped me out. I'm grateful. Maybe, just maybe, there's a few of us that need that help, because we're in this invisible bubble of unforgiveness and we're not getting into the party. It's just somehow not happening. And I am confident when Jesus said, "So my heavenly Father," so he's bringing it very real. It's a spiritual kingdom dynamic. When we look here, to forgive is not an action, it's actually an attitude. You've heard me say the marks of a great Christian are two. They are a giver, generous, time, talent, resource. They're generous. They're givers. The second mark is they are forgivers. They forgive quickly because they understand that principle. And they also know that they're going to probably need to be forgiven by our Heavenly Father. So when we look here, we're taking a look at that. So important when we see, number two, to forgive is not an apology. Come along here and just say, "Hey, I apologize. You know, I was wrong." It's not a description of how you feel. It's really something that's forthright. Let's look at chapter 6 of Matthew. Let's go to Matthew 6. Let's go to the left there. Somebody says, "I'm sorry." He says, "Well, how can you be sorry? I've got 4 broken fingers." There's just something that just we somehow want restitution. And it kind of helps, isn't it? It's one of those perspectives. I want restitution. Sometimes we just have to make a cold, calculated, "I will forgive." I come along there and I take a look and there's Wayne, and Wayne runs over my dog and kills my dog. Yeah, that's exactly right. Right away, I thought, Wayne, I thought you were just an amazing man, but man, I see you're an animal hater. You're filthy. And in the process of me just tearing up Wayne's reputation around town, he comes, Paul, how can we make this right? And he pulls out his checkbook and writes me a check of $10,000. Oh, that, Wayne, that'll help. Hey, yeah. Matter of fact, I got three dogs at home, Wayne. You want to see them? Come on. Huh? Yeah. It's restitution. That's what our courts are all about. Man, you've done this to me. I want millions. Will that make it right? It's a good starting point. So you can see here when we start dealing with forgiveness, somebody says, I want them to pay. But God says, listen, I've died to forgive men, to get sins off of you. Look at Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking to the believers, and he's talking about praying. Verse 5, when you pray, not if, but when you pray. He says, don't use vain repetition. Don't use memorized prayers. Let it be from the heart. Then he comes in here, and verse 9 starts talking about the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven. The only description that he brings up to describe the definition of the Lord's Prayer is verse 14 and 15. It's on your notes, Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Check it out. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Because we just prayed that. What did we just pray? Verse 12 up ahead. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Man. So Jesus says, I'm going to tell you, this is a principle in heaven. I will have my Father forgive you if you forgive others. Then verse 15, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So this is very important. I mean, we're talking about people we love here. There is one thing predicated on one little word, two little letters. If you forgive, then you'll be forgiven. If you don't forgive, then you won't be forgiven. And that is that invisible bubble of unforgiveness. People think that they're actually, by withholding forgiveness, they're punishing somebody. I'm never going to talk to them. But we find that we actually put ourselves in prison. And we have to be very, very careful about that. Had a great Christian father, loved his daughter, raised her well, saved money, sent her off to Bible college. And in so doing, sends an email. Says, Dear Dad, I wanted to write to you and tell you about the first semester here in college. Bring you up to date. What's happening in college? It's been a very bad first semester. First of all, I started experimenting with drugs, and I OD'd. I was asked to leave the college, so I dropped out of school. But here's some good news, Dad. I met a guy named Chuck. He plays in a band on weekends, and I think we're going to get married pretty soon. By this time, you can imagine the father's getting weak-kneed. We've been going together for 2 months, and it gets worse. I'm saying it gets worse. He doesn't have a steady job, Dad, so since we're getting married pretty soon, he just moved in with me. His friends come over and give us some food once in a while, and they look pretty different, but they're okay. Dad, I think I'm pregnant. I think it's okay I dropped out of school because that'll give me time to raise the baby. Now, the dad's dying 1,000 deaths. Anybody else out there like that? Have you ever gotten those notes? And then a second email gets blasted when she knows that he read it. Dear Dad, none of these things are true. There's no drugs. There's no guy named Chuck, and I'm not pregnant. But what is true, Dad, I got a D in French, and I failed calculus. And I need $500 for next semester's book, Dad. I hope you won't mind giving me forgiveness. I mean, the dad's about ready to write a million. Don't you know? It's, like, it's perspective. Honey, I love you. But you understand, sometimes, like my daughter Holly, I'm so mad, breathed on my food. And so we withhold forgiveness. Number three, to forgive is a promise to not hold a grudge. Boy, Romans 12 says, man, don't take vengeance. I'll repay. I actually was reading that in one of my Bibles this morning, and I had it dated, and I showed Ainsley. I said, honey, look at, God gave me that verse, Romans 12. Don't take vengeance for yourself. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. And I wrote the names of the people that I felt were really trashing my reputation. And praise God. And I followed the leading of the Lord. And I think he's taking care of things. And I'm so glad I didn't jump in there. So, and in the meantime, it's worth noting, when you forgive, it's a calculated thing. I will not bring it up ever again. I will not hold it against you. We'll make other mistakes, but this one in the past is in the past. Aren't we glad it's the way God forgives? Number four, to forgive is not faith, but a command. In Luke 17, it's a great reference. I hope you'll take a look at that on the mini church. When Jesus says, when your brother comes to you and asks for forgiveness, forgive. And then they said, increase our faith. Some of you are looking for that. Let's go to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. In Luke 17, verse 3, take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. How many know you must go to that brother and say, listen, this is not right what you have done. So it's very important that we take that to them personally. You might want to write down Matthew 18, 15. If your brother sins against you, go to him alone and tell him his faults. Don't broadcast it. Oftentimes people will say, man, I pull him into my office. How come you're saying this about this person? You've told 12 people, it's been reported to me. Well, I'm just so hurt. Well, have you talked to them about it? No. Well, let's do it the Bible way. Matthew 18, 15. Go and tell him his sin between you and him alone. The emphasis is that you want to win your brother back. If they sin against you, they could be backsliding. That's what Jesus is all about. That's why he says, go after them. We just say, man, they should have knucklehead. They should have learned that a long time ago. Go and just crash and burn. But Jesus says, you can't do that. That's that 100th lammy. Go after them and tell them their faults between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained your brother back. That's where verse 3, if he repents, forgive him. You're right, I'm sorry. Verse 4, and if he sins against you seven times in a day, returns to you, saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Now, that sounds like a bad marriage. Doesn't that sound like a bad marriage? Can happen. And the apostles said to the Lord, look at verse 5, increase our what? Then he tells a story. It has nothing to do with faith. It has everything to do with obedience. I'm just telling, it's a command. You do this. You do this. It has nothing to do. And he says, like a servant working the fields, you just go and be busy about it. But when we look here, it's very important for us once again. The joy of obeying the Lord sets us free from those bubbles that encase us, because the struggle's not with a person. The struggle becomes with us and God. Number five, to forgive is not a feeling. I think we just mentioned that very good. So many times people will not forgive because we don't feel like forgiving. What's worse is we don't really feel like God's forgiven us. We've never experienced what it is to be forgiven. We just don't know what that's like. But a person that's genuinely thankful for the gross crud going to really have a heart of compassion for others. And how will the world know that you and I are Christians except we have love for one another? And that's just even when things aren't going so well. Jesus actually gives the world license to judge you and me. Remember when Jesus says, all men will know that you're my disciple if you have love for one another. So the world's actually going to see the only way you're a follower of Jesus is how you love the brethren. A lot of people love that Jesus. They don't really love the church because it deals with people. But the Lord has a remedy, and it's called forgiveness. Isn't that cool? And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. We take a look at that. So the joy of experiencing the obedience mature Christians have come to realize how important it is to experience just, I will obey the Lord. I will obey the Lord. Immature Christians have a hard time. And I would just remember some of the basic things of Christianity. When I say base, I mean water baptism is one of them. I can't be water. I'm not quite sure about all that stuff. Tithing is another one. I'm not sure about that. And forgiving is another one. All those really seem to trip people up, and they just can't go toward maturity. And it's a very, do you believe in tithe? I do. Do you tithe? I don't. I just don't have it. Wow, do you believe in water? I think it's good. I'm not quite sure what it is. Have you done it? No. Have you forgiven people lately? What does that look like? I don't know what forgiveness is all about. Have you been forgiven by God? I'm not sure He loves me anymore. We have to be forgiven by the Lord. And number six, to forgive others is God's will. So important. Let me share a story, and then we're going to proceed here with just trusting the Lord. Next Sunday, we have area missionary into the Asia area there, China, Japan. We're starting our missions awareness. What it is, these courageous people that go into mission field. We have so many of them in our own church. So I'm excited. We'll be having the Muellers here. We'll be having the Godwins here. We're wanting our church to be acquainted with our missionaries and be impressed by this man. So let me share a story, because nothing like knowing there are people that are lost that need salvation. People are going to hell in other nations. Don Richardson's a missionary and teacher, and he wrote a book, Lords of the Earth. And in that book, it describes how that people can become our lords when they basically start to make our negotiation with God of no effect because we fear people. And in the book, he actually talks about this missionary. His name's Stan Dale. And he goes to Arian Jaya. This is a few decades ago when this happened. And in so going, he not only brought over his wife and his four kids, but he was ministering and trying to reach this very cultish group called the Yaolis, and they're up in the mountains. And so Stan Dale and his assistant, his name is Phil Masters, went up to the mountains. And Stan is there sharing and teaching on the love of God, the cross of Jesus, and the resurrection. And they didn't like that. And they shot him through with 5 arrows. He survived, went to the hospital, and in his recovery, told his assistant, Phil, and his wife, I'm going to go back. This is a perfect example on forgiveness. So he goes back to the Yaolis, and he heads up to the mountain region again. And this time he starts to say, I'm back here to show and demonstrate the forgiveness of God. And as he's standing there, they start coming out of the forest. And he's sharing, and his assistant Phil's behind him. And the first tribal man shoots an arrow in his chest. Bam, hits him. He continues to preach, I forgive you. God loves you. And more arrows start coming upon Stan Dale. After a while, he continues, he just stands there and speaking to them. They are amazed that he is still standing. He's speaking, I love you, please don't do this. He is filled with 50 arrows. By this time, Phil, his assistant, steps out from behind him and says, please, we love you, Stan loves you, stop this. And he starts getting riddled with arrows. Stan falls down, blood lost. Phil falls over him. They both perish. What the tribal group, so the history books share, they cut these men's bodies in pieces and dispersed them throughout the jungle because they spoke about this resurrection. So they didn't want to have that. And all of a sudden, in 2 weeks' time, the Spirit of God started flowing. And these tribal leaders couldn't believe the courage of these men, but something about forgiveness started making sense. And a revival broke out among the Yaolis. It was an amazing story. Matter of fact, Mel Torrey writes about it in A Mighty Rushing Wind, his book, how that this revival breaks out, because this group saw forgiveness. And today, God wants us to experience that same. It might happen because there's something of few of us withholding forgiveness. I'm going to ask you to do something with me. I'm going to just share some areas or people that we might have a hard time forgiving. Matter of fact, would you close your Bible? Let's drop our lights. I'm going to invite our worship team up. And this is what I would like you to experience with me. Would you just close your eyes? And I'm wanting the Lord to set some of us free from that invisible bubble of unforgiveness. Let me say these individuals, and if you need to forgive them, it's a decision. You don't wait to feel like it. You just know God wants you to forgive. And I would like you to say, I will choose to forgive them. When I go through this list of 16 categories, there's quite a few. If you have made it your determination to forgive, then if you've done that, I'm going to have you just stand. That's all you're going to, just going to, I am confessing to this group, I have forgiven that individual. Here we go. Close your eyes. Don't look at me. Let Lord look at you. First person we need to forgive, that's you, is God the Father. Lord, where were you when my mother died? Lord, I have this because you let my daughter die. Second, my husband, my wife, you don't know how badly, though, Pastor, they've treated me. I'm sure you've got a list. God wants you to forgive them. Third group would be my father, my mother. Go home and you may have that list, and I want to encourage you against your mom or dad, tear it up. Just tear it up. They failed you badly. God wants to set you free. Number four, my brother and my sister. My brothers and my sisters have treated me terribly, physically harmed me. God says, are you willing to forgive them? Next one, my son and my daughter. They have not been the kind of support group I want. I've never let them know that, but I have it in my heart. Next group, my friend. Left me standing there in the rain. I was really anticipating them being there when I needed them most. Next person would be a neighbor, and that's not just a neighbor near you. That could be a person of another race, white, black, Hispanic. Man, I just have animosity in my heart. Next person would be your boss. They embarrassed you in front of others and didn't think it mattered, but it still hurts. Next would be people at work or at school. Just wish something terrible would happen to them. You need to forgive them. God's wanting you to forgive them. Next would be your business partner. I were to ask how many have had Christian business partners that just weren't too Christ-like when they really needed them to be. Next person would be a school teacher. Just have it. I just remember a school teacher that just did me wrong. Or a doctor. Yep, even doctors can mistreat us. Bad treatment. But your lawyer took your money but didn't quite come forward like you needed. Next person would be your pastor. Going to issue forgiveness for that pastor that just, sometimes they just don't know, but we have it in for them. Next would be the church. A lot of people, as I said, love Jesus, but they don't like the church. Represents us, but we have it into the church. And the final person would be yourself. You need to forgive yourself. Suicide is on the rise. Sometimes we are just tear ourselves up when we say or do something. We say, "What a sound like such a knucklehead." Feel so bad. If any of those or a few of those felt like you needed to forgive, I'm going to invite you to stand. Say, "I needed to forgive. I needed to forgive. We're coming out of that invisible bubble. I'm looking for my miracle. We're looking for the Lord to do a miracle. You watch how the Lord's going to do a breakthrough. Absolute breakthrough. It's a decision you're making. I'm choosing to forgive. Whether that person approaches me or not, getting that off of me. Jesus, you died for that wrong they did. I'm asking you to forgive them. Lord, even move in my heart, I want to pray that you help that person or people group. Let salvation come where they get their lives back. Ask that you bring a healing and even, Lord, somehow bless them. They're evil in my mind or imagination, but Lord, they need to be transformed. Lord, we want to thank you for these individuals standing. Lord, we're asking right now, Lord, do a work right now. Lord, we want to thank you. I'm going to invite the rest of you, if you can, let's stand. That's not too many of us left standing. We're going to sing this song, and then we're going to come, and we're going to believe for a miracle. We're going to sing this song one last time. Shall we do that? Okay. Three. Okay, I'm going to pray you off, but before we do, let's see what the Lord does now. You're going to receive, you who issued forgiveness, I thank God for you, and I hope that we get a chance next Sunday, somehow you come up to Jim and say, "I've got a testimony. I've received my healing. I received my answer, breakthrough." That's what happens when people come out of that invisible bubble. It's amazing. So let's go get some free donuts. But before we do, let me pray. Father, we love what you have done for us today is actually very free, but it came at a great cost. So, Lord, we want to thank you even now. Lord, bring your promise upon your people. Lord, where healing of the broken has taken place, bring healing physically in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Spiritually, where such deep wounds that go back years, bring healing. We speak the name of Jesus over wounds that nobody knows, but Father, you know, and they know. Lord, let those wounds go away, become a scar, a mark, but no pain. Lord, for those that have just become angry, suspicious, fearing the day and then fearing the night, remove fear in the name of Jesus. Lord, we want to thank you for that. Lord, may each person receive that divine, miraculous miracle. Lord, we want to thank you for your goodness. Bless each and every one, each person here, in Jesus' name. Amen. We have altar people who are here. If you need additional prayers, they'll meet you up front. Hey, friends, what a great day to be together. Thank you for coming. We dismiss you. We're going to get ready for baptism.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.